Well, once again, everybody, welcome to our Sunday service. Who are we missing? Mark. The card is out there now. I don't know who's got it.
I got it.
Okay. And I think we got everybody signed it. Then.
Did you sign it for us?
Yes.
I haven't signed it.
Roy signed it for you guys.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't mind reading my thing that I wrote. This is for Denny and Norma.
You want me to read what you wrote?
Yeah.
Out loud? At
yeah, because this is... Oh, he's reading.
Right now, right? This is
as you know, for the local.
Thank you so much for all you have done for our little local. Have a wonderful Christmas and a joyous new year. We love you guys, Rich and Karen.
The bed's for everybody. They've done so much for us. It's not even funny. I feel alive. But as that, oh, I'm sitting here. I'm waiting for that card. We'll open up with use number 52, Joy to the World, number 52. And when you find your places, would you please stand? That are able, would you please kneel with me? Is that okay? Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, we pray, giving you thanks for this day that you bestowed upon us and the many blessings you give us in our lives. Lord, I pray for this Christmas time, Lord, that we will stay focused and in tune with what this season is all about, Lord, for the birth of our Savior and sacrifice that was made for us. Lord, I pray, give you thanks for making it possible for us to arrive here safely, Lord, especially with these adverse weather conditions, Lord. I pray that you will watch over us as we all drive back home, Lord, that you will keep us safe and on the road. Lord, I pray that you will continue to be with all those that are on our prayer list, Lord, that you will guide them and direct them. Lord, at this time I also do pray for my mother, Lord, that she slipped and fell and broke her ankle and her tibia and her fibula, Lord, that she's going to have to undergo some surgery, Lord, and I pray that you will pour out your loving spirit with her to provide a very speedy recovery, Lord, and that she will be able to walk again, Lord, that she's bedridden at this time. Lord, I also pray that you'll continue to be with our speaker today, Lord, that your words will transpire through his mouth, Lord, and that you will touch his heart, Lord, and bring forth the message that was brought before him, and Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless him in his ministry, Lord, and I pray that you will continue to watch over him and keep him strong. Lord, I also pray that you will be with us as a local, Lord, that you will watch over us and provide us to be very healthy and strong, Lord, that we can endure the things that are of this outside world, Lord, and I pray that we will continue to stay focused with thee, Lord, and I pray you give you thanks so much for making it possible for us to be a part of your life. And I do ask this in Jesus Christ's name.
And we will continue with the number 36, the First Noel. You guys are lucky because I know how to play this on a tonette, so I didn't bring it though. But number 36, the First Noel.
Shepherds in fields as they went, me and
want to apologize for that. When I got my message from my about my mom, I forgot to turn my phone off, so that was my phone, and I apologize for that. But as I introduce our speaker, Roy and I were up here. We were kind of chuckling because Debbie came up here to get a Kleenex, and it was kind of funny because she walked away with the Kleenex, and Roy looked at me and looked at Deb and said, "Well, I don't know why you're crying. I haven't preached yet." So, but it was perfect timing for that. But with that, you know, especially with the season going on, you know, it's a beautiful time. You know, Christmas has always been a beautiful time for each and every one of us. And being more familiar with what the season's all about, you know, it brings it a lot closer to us. It brings it a lot closer to me. You know, like I said before, I didn't know what Christmas was all about, and now I do. And to me, you know, I'm like a new child now. Christmas is a beautiful thing for me now. And I hope everybody else has that chance to experience that. And with that, I'd like for everybody to not look outside while the snow stopped, but to stay focused with what our message is today. And with that, I'd like to introduce our speaker for the day, Elder Roy Kuhn.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's really a privilege to be your speaker on such an important occasion. Came as a surprise to me today to find out that we were celebrating two birthdays. I want to wish Mark a very happy birthday. And, of course, we don't want to forget our honored guest either. It's Christ's birthday, and this is a time that we celebrate this. And as Rich finished up, you know, he was talking about Christ's presence. Well, I'm going to go a little farther on that. I'm going to follow right along because I'm going to ask, what would Jesus want for Christmas? You know, each one of us has a want when it comes to our birthday or Christmas. What would Jesus want? And I found this on the web, and it's written by a lady named Rachel Woods, and it's top 10 spiritual gifts to give the Savior. All they cost is a little change of heart. If you could only give one gift to Jesus Christ, what would it be? What kind of a gift would he want? Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And that's from Mark chapter 8, 34. So that would be one of the things that Christ would desire. Our Savior wants us to come unto him to repent and be cleansed through the atonement, that we may live with him and our Heavenly Father for all eternity. So as we think about this, it's kind of a two-way deal. We're thinking about what would Jesus want, and then at the same time, he's thinking of what we need so that we can be a part of this the eternal life. The very best gift we could give Jesus would be to change apart ourselves that is not in harmony with Christ's teaching. Here's my list of the top 10 spiritual gifts we could give to our Savior. Have a humble heart. How many times have we heard that? I remember Marvin Ealy, Apostle Marvin Ealy, practically every sermon he preached towards his last days there with us, it was on being humble, to humble ourselves in order that we can get closer to the Lord. We have to humble ourselves in order for to really get to know the Lord. Have a humble heart. I believe it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to give ourselves if we first don't have a humble heart. It takes humility to change ourselves, and unless we recognize our own nothingness, it will be very hard to give a true gift of ourselves to our Savior. If you find yourself struggling to give a give up sin or weakness or lack a strong enough desire or motivation to truly give of yourselves, then turning to the Lord and asking for humility might be the right gift for you to give at this time. So that's what she suggests here. It might be the right gift to give our Lord and Savior. To get started, here are the 10 ways of humility. Repent of sin or weakness. When we are sufficiently humble, it's easier to accept that we have sins and weaknesses we need to repent of. And so we have to really be close to the Lord in order to and humble ourselves in order to see these things. So sometimes we don't see these things. We know other people can look at us, and boy, they can see all our faults, but we're not always aware of them. Repentance is usually a process, but unless we take the first step to repent and start walking down that straight and narrow path, we will continue to go in circles on the cycle of sin and wickedness. And it tells us in 2 Nephi chapter 13, 24 through 32 of this narrow path that we must follow. Number three is to serve others. To know God is to serve others, and the gift of serving others is one of the greatest spiritual gifts we can give to our Savior Jesus. Christ taught that as much as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. That's Matthew 25, verse 40. As we put together the time and effort to take to serve others, we are really putting that time and effort into serving our Lord. It goes on to say, in ways to serve others, pray with sincerity. If you're new to prayer or haven't prayed in a long time, then perhaps the gift of prayer would be the perfect gift to give Christ. As soon as we learn that the two relationship in which we stand toward God, namely God is our Father and we are His children, then at once prayer becomes natural and instinctive on our part. And that's from Matthew 7:11. Many of the so-called difficulties about prayer arise from forgetting this relationship. So it tells us we must pray. It tells us in the scriptures that Satan's the one that tried to discourage us in praying. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to get close to the Lord. Number five, study the scriptures daily. The scriptures, as the word of God, are one of the greatest ways we can know what God would have us do. If we were to give a gift to the Savior, wouldn't He want us to read His words and keep His commandments? If you don't regularly study the Word of God, then now is the right time to give the gift of regular scripture study to the Savior Jesus Christ. So that's just another gift that He would like to have. In the Book of Mormon, we are warned, woe be unto him that rejecteth the Word of God. But we are also taught that the Word of God can be compared to planting a seed within our hearts. Number six, make a goal and keep it. If you worked and worked to give of yourself to the Savior in a specific area but have struggled to achieve your goal, then maybe achieving your goal once and for all would be the perfect gift for you to focus on at this time. Jesus Christ loves you. He suffered for you. He died for you. He wants you to be happy. And if there is something in your life that is keeping you from experiencing the fullness of joy, then now is the time to turn your life over to the Lord and accept His help in making and achieving your goals, because they are His goals too. Number seven, having faith during trials. Having faith in Jesus Christ during the serious trials of life can sometimes be very difficult for us to do. If you're struggling with a trial right now, then making the choice to trust the Lord would be a wonderful spiritual gift to give to the Lord. You know, many times that we have trials and tribulations, and we think we can carry this load by ourselves. And yet the Lord says, come unto me, and I will take your burdens. I'll make your burdens light. And sometimes we forget that. Number 8, become a lifetime learner. Continue gaining knowledge as a lifetime learner is one of the Christ-like attitudes that we need to develop throughout our lives and makes an excellent gift we can give our Savior. Number 9, gain a testimony of a gospel principle. Another great spiritual gift we can give to the Savior is to gain a testimony of the gospel. Principle meaning we come to know for ourselves that something is true. To gain a testimony, we must first trust the Lord and put our faith in Him by believing in what we've been taught and then acting upon it. Number 10, give thanks to God in all things. One of the most important gifts I believe we should give to our Savior is our gratitude. We should give thanks to God for all that He has done and He continues to do for us, because everything we are, everything we have, and everything we will be and have in the future all comes from Him. So that is the 10 gifts that we could give God in a time like this. And sometimes we don't think about gifts to give God. We think about gifts that we want to give each other, and we get all wrapped up in the world, and we forget that really this occasion is for our Lord Jesus Christ and in remembrance of Him. About 740 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah foretold of His birth. I'm going to take you to Isaiah 9 and just read verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we know that the people upon this continent, that they were very influenced by the teachings of the Lord. And we know that Samuel the Lamanite, he was one of the few Lamanites who was really a righteous man. He was more so righteous than some of the Nephites. And Samuel prophesied of the birth of Christ 5 years before it took place. And I'm going to take you to page 592, the book of Helaman, beginning with chapter 7, 54 through 63. And it came to pass, maybe I better give you a chance to get there. And it came to pass that Samuel the Lamanite did prophesy a great many more things than cannot be written. And behold, he said unto them, behold, I give unto you a sign. For 5 years more cometh, and behold, then cometh the Son of God to redeem all those who shall believe on His name. And behold, this will I give unto you for a sign as the time of His coming. For behold, there shall be great lights in the heaven, inasmuch that in the night before He cometh there shall be no darkness, inasmuch that it shall appear unto man as if it was day. Therefore there shall be one day and a night, and a day, as if it were one day, and there were no night. And this shall be unto you for a sign, for you shall know the rising of the sun, and also of its setting. So you'll know this is actually taking place, because it'll be signs of the division between night and day, but you won't have the light. Therefore they shall know of the surety that there shall be 2 days and a night. Nevertheless, the night shall not be darkened, and it shall be the night before He is born. And behold, there shall be a new star arise, and such a one as you have never beheld. And this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in heaven. And it shall come to pass that you shall be amazed and wonder as much that ye shall fall to the earth. And shall come to pass that whosoever shall believe on the Son of God, the same shall have everlasting life. And behold, thus has the Lord commanded me by an angel that I should come and tell you this thing unto you. Yea, he has commanded that I should prophesy these things unto you. Yea, he has said unto me, cry unto this people, repent, prepare the way of the Lord. Joseph was told that Mary would give birth to Jesus, and that's in Matthew 1, or is 7, I can't read my own writing, 18 through 25, I'll get, check and see where I've got it here. Yeah, it's Matthew 1, 18 through Good. 25. So I can't read my own writing. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on all eyes when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So she was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, 1 through 7. Mary was also told that she would be the mother of Jesus. I'm going to take it up now to, let's see, I'm going to be in 26 to 48. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Can you imagine what that would be, that she, when he told her how she would feel about being so highly favored and that she had this great responsibility that lie ahead of her. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And I think we know that. We know nothing. God has no limitations. That He can perform all sorts of miracles that even our doctors today can't explain when somebody is healed with a miracle. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And then I'm going to jump over to the next page here, which is chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, And it came to pass, in those days that they went out as a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, even one into his own town. And Joseph all went up from Galilee, and out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And of course, the people upon this continent, they were warned, they were told too that there would be a Savior born, that Christ the Lord would come unto them. And Samuel the Lamanite had prophesied many things, but here he tells the things for them to watch for. And this is a prophecy that continues on in 3 Nephi on page 600. Third Nephi on page 600, beginning with verse 4 in chapter 1. And it came to pass in the commencement of the ninth and second year, behold, the prophecies of the prophets began to be filled more fully, for they began to be greater signs and miracles abroad amongst the people. But there were some which began to say that time was past for the words to be filled which was spoken by Samuel the Lamanite. In other words, the 5 years was up, and they wondered what had happened. Here Samuel made this prophecy that Christ would be born, and nothing had happened. Was he a false prophet? They were very much in doubt. And they began to rejoice over their brethren, saying, Behold, the time has passed, and the words of Samuel are not fulfilled. Therefore, Your joy and your faith concerning this thing has been vain. And it came to pass that it did make a great uproar throughout the land, and the people which believed began to be sorrowful, lest by any means those which had been spoken, those things which had been spoken might not come to pass. And behold, they did watch steadfastly for the day and the night and the day which should be as one day, as if there was no light, that they might know that their faith had not been vain. Now it came to pass there was a day set apart by the unbelievers, that all those who believed in these traditions should be put to death, except the sign should come to pass which had been given by Samuel the prophet. And it came to pass when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw the wickedness of his people, and his heart was exceeding sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down upon the earth, and cried mightily to his God in behalf of his people, yea, those who were about to be destroyed because of their faith in the tradition of their fathers. And here were these believers, and they completely believed in Samuel the Lamanite. And here were the unbelievers that said that they were going to destroy each one of them. If this didn't take place, they would all be killed. And it came to pass that he cried mightily unto the Lord all day, and behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, Lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given. And on the morrow come I into the world to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophets. Behold, I come unto my own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world, and to do the will both of the Father and of the Son, of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall the sign be given. And it came to pass that the words which came unto Nephi were fulfilled according as they had been spoken. For behold, at the going down of the sun there was no darkness, and the people began to be astonished because there was no darkness when the night came. And there were many which had not believed the words of the prophets, fell to the earth, and became as if they were dead. For they knew that the great plan of destruction which had been laid for those who believed in the words of the prophets had been frustrated, for the sign which had been given was truly at hand, and they began to know that the Son of God must shortly appear. Yea, in fine, all the people on the face of the whole earth, from the west to the east, both in the land north and the land south, were exceedingly astonished that they were so exceedingly astonished that they fell to the earth. For they knew that the prophets had testified of these things for many years, and that the sign which had been given was already at hand. And they began to fear because of the iniquity and their unbelief. And it came to pass there was no darkness all that night, but it was as light as though it was midday. And it came to pass that they did rise in the morning, and according to its proper order, and they knew that it was the day that the Lord should be born, because the sign was given, had been given. And it came to pass, yea, all things were with according to the words of the prophets. And it came to pass that a new star did appear according to the word. And the angel said, Oh, in this day a city of David, a Savior, which is Jesus Christ the Lord, will be born. There is born. I'm going to take the Luke 2nd chapter 8 through 20 now. This will be my last one. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of joy, tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So they actually saw and was able to realize that this truly was the birth of Christ, their Savior, that has been prophesied. Of course, that was 2,000 years ago, and yet today we have trouble with many people not accepting this at all. There's some people say that no way that Mary could be conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and there's many non-believers out there. But we're very fortunate that we have the scriptures here and that we believe and we know the true meaning of Christmas. We know that Christ came to do the work of the Father, and he had a vast job to do. And he still has a vast job to do because his work is still being done, even though we are the servants that are supposed to carry this on. I want to thank each one of you, and I want to wish each one of you a Merry Christmas.
You need help getting up?
I got two things I'd like to add. When we read in the third book of Nephi about Samuel the Lamanite, and this is, you know, miracles that happen. You know, there's so many scientists out there that say, you know, the Big Bang Theory and all this other stuff, saying that, you know, science created the heavens and earth. You know, how did that star follow everybody? That star, that bright star. Okay, God made that happen. It's not science. And also, when they said that, you know, anybody that believed in Samuel the Lamanite, you know, when that time didn't come, that all the believers were going to be put to death, right? That time had gone, come and gone, I think is what it said. You know, that right there is proof that it was God's time, not man's time. And I just wanted to share that, you know, that it's amazing that even God back then said, okay, this is my time. It's not your time, if you know, when I'm going to come. And with that, one thing that came to my mind when Roy was doing his sermon about the top ten gifts that we can give Christ. And one thing that came to my mind is the greatest gift that we can give Christ is ourselves as a whole. And I believe that. And we'll bring our service to a close with the use of number 37. Silent Night, number 37.